Begin the current daf, Masech the Baba Basra, daf Pei Tes. Begin on the third line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues to explain the mission of the previous daf, which was discussing the appropriate halachas of measurements. So one of the halachas the Mishnah mentioned, which the Gemara is going to use as a platform, as a springboard for discussion about appropriate halachas of weights, is Mokim Shenagu Lomid Begasa B'chulu, in the place where the weight that they used to, the measuring cup was large, then you shouldn't use small, or if you use small, you shouldn't use large, as the Rashbam explained in regards to Halacha the Mishnah, was because that even if you're doing a smooth measurement, it's not possible to do exactly, and the seller's going to do a little bit more than what's usual. So if there's going to be a trade-off, if you usually use a larger one, you can use small ones, then he's going to have to do it a little bit, tilt it a little bit more in the buyer's benefit every single time, and it's going to be much more times that he's doing it, because instead of using one large one, he's going to use a few different small ones. So one should not deviate from the custom of the place, because then it's going to cause a loss for either the buyer or the seller. Now, the Gemara brings a simon for the brises of this daf, that a mnemonic to recall the different brises that discuss this halachas of weights. Im einen, we don't do exactly of balancing the scales. Vein geitchen, we don't heap that over. Begardemen, regarding if we appoint superintendents, people that are appointed to watch over the people, making sure that they're careful with their weights. Or belitra, which is a type of a weight. Shlesha, 3. Ve'eser, 10. Nefesh, a fulcrum, which is the thing that the scale basically hinges on. Mishkalis, the weights. Memachik, smoothing it out. Ava, thick. Lo yisasu, this you should not do, and lo yaseh should not be done. Taraban, learn the braisa. Minayin she'ein meichikin b'makam shekoychem. For where do we know that if it's the custom where they would heap over the measurement when it was being put, given out from the seller to the buyer, that they shouldn't smooth it out, even if the buyer is meichel, he's okay. He says, okay, you could smooth it out. But one should not deviate from the custom of heaping it over, or v'ein geichem b'makam shemeichikin, or that if, let's say, the custom is that they smooth it out, but the seller is saying, oh, it's okay, don't worry, I'll heap it up for you, that you should not do that. That's what the pasuk teaches in Devarim, Eifa Shlema. That it says a person should have a whole Eifa, which is a weight, meaning that the Eifa should be whole, that one should not come to a situation which could cause that trick in regards to a sale, because if you're going to do that, maybe other people are going to see, are going to say, oh, that must be the minig. And then it's going to cause them to outsmart if it's the buyer to the seller or the seller to the buyer, because they're going to see that you're doing differently than what's usually done. So therefore, even though here in this situation between the two people, the buyer and the seller, they're meichel, the seller's like, oh, it's okay, I'll heap it over. Or the buyer's going to say, no, it's okay, just smooth it out. But other people are going to be seeing that, and that might cause them to do the same thing, which would thus deviate from the real halacha that's supposed to be, in general, between the buyer and the seller. Now, as Rashbam points out, you can't explain the brisa that's talking about where one of them were not meichel, because then that isser would be learned out from leisasu avol, which is that he's outright stealing from the other one. If you're supposed to heap it over, and the buyer's not meichel, then that's stealing. Rather, what this brisa is teaching, even if he's meichel, still you have to have an eifa shlem. It has to be whole, it has to be exactly as it's supposed to be, because if you deviate, it could cause other people to be merama. Now, continues, minayin shem amma, and hafamuid we know, says the braisa, that if, let's say, he says, ha'reini meichik b'mochim shagaychen, the seller says, look, I know we usually heap it over, but I want to smooth it out, but v'lifchis lemin adam, I'll actually charge him less, which actually he'll charge him a third less, because actually the heaping part is a third of how much is in the receptacle. Now that's not going to cause anyone to cause trickery or being crafty, because since he's charging him less, everybody knows, or why is he charging him less? Because of that he's giving him less, because that's not the minig to smooth it out. So he's going to get it. That's not going to cause him to say, oh, it must be that this is the minig. Or let's say, v'arini gaydish b'makim shemeichin. Or let's say, they usually smooth it out there. They give exactly to the top, no heaping. And he's going to say, I'm going to heap it over. But I'm going to charge him more. So then when he adds on more, everybody knows the reason why he's charging more is because he's adding on, because it's not usual that they do the Kaddish. And therefore, it shouldn't cause anyone being merama. So therefore, I would think that you could do that. Says the Braisa, how do I know she'in shemle, that even there we don't listen to him? Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches over there. Eifa shlema v'tzedek yialach. A whole and righteous Eifa should be for you. Which that word v'tzedek is coming to add on in all situations. That even over here, it could cause some ramois, because someone might see the measuring and might not see the payment that he's charging, or more or less. and therefore one should never deviate. Which in the Sefri learns it out all these halachas from the word v'tzedek, which is superfluous, to tell you that has to be as it always is, and you cannot deviate because it might cause some type of trickery. A similar type of a brayso, turn rabban. Minayin she'ein ma'ainin. From where do we know that we don't weigh exactly to the weight to what's being purchased? B'makom she'machrin, if it's in the place where they're usually tilted in the favor of the buyer. Or ve'ein machrin b'makom she'ma'ainin. How do you know that actually you don't tilt it if the custom is to have it exactly? Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches. Evan shleim has to be a whole stone. Another type of a weight, which is the same idea, has to be exactly what it usually is. Now, minayin, from where do we know, similar like we said in the previous brisa. Shem Amar, let's say he says, Harini ma'ayin b'bakash ma'achrin. I know they're usually tilted in the buyer's favor, but I want to do it exactly. V'lifchus le'min adam, I'll charge him less. V'harini ma'achrin b'bakash ma'ayin. And let's say he says, look, I know we usually do weight exactly. I'm going to actually tilt it a little bit in the buyer's favor. U'lohaysav le'adam. And then I'll actually charge him a little bit more, because now I'm tilting in his favor. How do we know Shein Shemeli that we don't listen to him? Tamalema Evan Shlema Vatzadek. That not only has to be a whole stone, but it has to be just and righteous, which is again in all situations we don't want to cause any deviation because of what the consequences could be. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Misura. He says, the pasuk before that says, Lo yilcha beveischa. It should not be for you in your house. Now, that word beveischa is an extra word in the pasuk. So therefore he expounds it. What does it mean it shouldn't be? He's expounding it that it won't be for you in your house. What's in your house? Money. Matam, what's the reason? Mishum eifa va'eifa, because like the pasuk continues, because that there's two different types of weights that you have. You have a gedolo ketana, you have a larger one and a small one. Meaning, because when you purchase, you use the larger one. When you sell, you use the smaller one, so that it should be less for the buyer. Oh, because you're unethical with your weights, that's why that you don't have money in your house. Similarly, the pasuk before that says, "Lo yilcha b'chischa," shouldn't be for you in your purse, which is telling you the simple translation of the pasuk is that you shouldn't have different types of weights. But the word b'chischa is also superfluous, so it's coming to say that you won't have money in your purse. Matam, what's the reason? Says the pasuk, "Mishum evan ve'evan," because you have different types of stones. You have a large one and a small one. Meaning, when you buy, it's one way; when you sell, it's another way. So since you're dishonest, that's why you don't have parnas, you don't have money. Aval, but, says Rav Yehuda, what the pasuk does tell you is Evan Shlema V'Tzedek Yilach, a whole and just stone, a weight you should have for you, meaning, Eifa Shlema V'Tzedek, if in your house there is a whole and just weight, then Yilach. You could read it, the simple translation is that it should be for you this weight. But he's reading it that no, if you have an Eifa Shlema V'Tzedek, then Yilach, then you will have money in your house, as the Gemara says elsewhere, like in Masechtas Nida, what should a person do and become wealthy? He should be Nasav and Nasav Emunah, he should have business dealings faithfully with Emunah, with according to the Halacha. Talmud Lin Nabraisa, regarding this pasuk that we just quoted, that Yilach, so actually this warning is, what does it mean that there should be whole and just weights for you? So it's actually a warning on the courts. Now, but there's the words yilach is superfluous because the pasuk could have said leyilacha evan ve'evan, that you shouldn't have these different types of weights. Ki im evan shlemi b'tzadik, rather only a just and whole weight. Why does it add the words yilacha? So that explains the Gemara. Malamed shemamidin are gardim and lamidus. This is coming to teach us that it's actually warning yilacha is talking to the bezdin, to the courts, that they should appoint those in charge to hit and to punish those who deviate from the appropriate laws of the measurements. But that's only regarding midas, regarding measurements, as the pasuk is talking about. But ve'im amidin agardim and lasham, but they do not appoint people in charge, officers, in regards to the price of the market, where that people shouldn't charge more than the market value according to what the courts had ordained. For that, they don't appoint anyone in charge. And that, says Rashbam, it's logical that you don't have to, because if this guy wants to charge more than what there is being allowed, then but another seller who's desperate for money will charge less, and that's what happens in the capitalistic society, and then everyone's going to buy by the one who charges less, and therefore the guy who wants to charge more is going to have to anyways charge less, therefore we don't have to appoint officers because of price gauging. Now, the Gemara actually brings a story regarding this halacha, that the Bei Nisiya Ukmi Agardamin, the house of the Nasi, who they were in charge of the Jews in the in of Klal Yisrael, they Ukmi Agardamin, they appointed officers, Bein Lamidas, Bein Lashan, both for measurements and for price gauging, that people shouldn't charge too much. So Amalei Shmuel Lekarna, so Shmuel said to Karna, another Talmud Chacham, said, Pugtanel, who go out and teach them this price that we just spoke about, Mamid Nagardim and Lamidis, that we only point officers for measurements, but Ve'im Mamid Nagardim and Lashem, but we do not point officers for the price that they're pointing officers, that's not the Halacha. So not for Gedorah Shlu, but actually Karna went out and lectured for them, that Mamid Nagardim, and we do appoint officers, Bein Lamidis, Bein Lashem, both for measurements and for the market prices. I mean, he did not listen to Shmuel. He said, actually, we do appoint guardmen for the Sharm. So Amalei, so when Shmuel heard this, he said to Karna, Mashmech, or what's your name? So he said, Karna. So typically, Karna Be'eni let a horn, which is his name, Karna, he let a horn come out of his eyes. And Nufakli Karna Be'eni, and a horn came out of his eye, which the Aruch brings down. It doesn't mean the actual horn. It means like a horn of flesh, some type of a fleshy protrusion that came out of his eye. Now, Rashbam says, although the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos Kofches Manav says that it was because Rav cursed him when he came from Bavel, and he said that a horn should come out of his eye. On that, actually, Rashbam says that you could say that both these incidents caused it to happen. One is because he didn't listen to Shmuel, and one because of what he had done to Rav. Now, the Gemara says, "You come on Sabbath, so who does Karna hold like? Shmuel has a brice like him. Who is Karna like?" Says the Gemara, "Ki hot amar rami bar chama amar b'yitzchok." He said, "Mamid nagardim in bein lamidus bein lasham." We do appoint an officer both in regards to measurements and in regards to the prices. And the reason is, although we said before that it's just logical that you don't need to have, is from neharamoyin. It's because no, there are people that are tricky in the sense of that. Although yeah, someone's going to charge less, but he's going to wait until that guy sells all his cheap stuff, and then later he's going to sell for a higher price, which is more than what the bezin wants to allow. And therefore, we point officers even for sharm. Someone wanted to buy something, let's say a piece of meat, worth a weight of a litra. So shakale litra. So the seller weighs it against for a weight of a litra. Let's say chatzi litra. Let's say he wanted to buy a piece of meat worth a half a litra. So shakale chatzi litra. So he weighs it against a weight that's a half a litra. Revi litra. Let's say he wanted to buy a quarter of a litra. So shakale revi litra. So he weighs it against the weight of a quarter litra. So ask the Gemara in this price of my kamash malan. What exactly is this price teaching us? Obviously, what he's going to buy, he's in the way against. So says the Gemara, "Demesakninan miskali arhachi." The chiddush of the price is that the earlier courts had instituted measurements up until this point. It was saying what type of weights are allowed to be used, but less than that, you don't use weights anymore. Actually, then you can use against currency, which everyone knows what those weights are, because if you're going to have weights less than what we just mentioned, that we don't allow, because then it might come to confuse, and people might use it as a deception for something. It might say that it's a quarter of litra, really it's not, and people cannot discern it when it's such small little weights. Or another interpretation, Rashbam says, what the Gemara is answering is that the besakni miskala ad hachi means to say that it has to be like the way the Brisa said it. Mean to say it went by quarters. It went from a litra to a half a litra to a quarter of a litra, which is that you could only use a quarter litra, but not a third of a litra or a fifth of a litra, because then it can be confusing. It has to be in the same order as that the Brisa had mentioned. That's what the chiddush of the Brisa is. Taraban Linda Brisa, continuing on this theme. Someone wanted to buy a piece of meat, let's say, that was 3/4 of a litra. Now, as we said, there is no such weight. There's a litra, there's a chatzit litra, there's a revi litra. What do you do if you want to buy 3/4 of a litra of meat? So it says the Brisa, lo yoymer loy. So he should not tell him, shkali shloisha rivei litra achas achas. So he should not tell him that, look, so go ahead, and I want to buy 3/4 of a litra of a piece of meat, so take that quarter litra weight and weigh out for me each quarter of the litra separately, 3 times. Now, the reason why you're not allowed to do that is because the seller can't do it exactly. And therefore, it's going to cause him a loss, because since he can't do it exactly, he's going to have to give a little bit more to the seller, and he's going to have to do this 3 times now. So it's going to cause him an undue loss. So Ella rather says the Brisa, what you do is shake a litra. What you do is you put on one side of the weights a litra, umanich revia litra imabasar, and then you put a weight of a quarter litra with the meat, which are 3/4 of litras, which is a sum total, is going to be a litra on either side. So again, you have the litra on the side of the scales, you have the quarter of the litra and 3/4 of the litra of the meat on the other side, which is going to be equal. Now, the Rashbam points out, this, however, is only talking about if it's a place where they're not machrin, they don't tilt. Because if they do tilt it, then it's going to come out that actually the tilting, which is to balance out a little bit more from the weights of the other side, will be tilting not appropriate the amount of wheat that he's buying. Because it's not going to be tilting only over 3/4 of a litre, it's going to be actually tilting of a whole litre, which is that 1/4 litre, which of meat that he's not buying. So therefore, actually, says Rashbam, in that situation where they're machriya, you actually will put 3 separate 1/4 litre weights on one side and the piece of meat on the other side, and then you weigh it like that, and then you tilt it. Tarabon learned the b'risa. V'mevakish mimenu 10 litre. If someone wanted to buy 10 litre, let's say, worth of meat, so lo yemeloi, he doesn't tell him, shkoli achas achas vechriya, go ahead and weigh each litre separately for me, and then, of course, it's going to be weighing in the side of the benefit of the buyer, because again, he can't do it exactly. Ella, shkoli kul mevas achas, rather, he weighs them all at one shot, v'noisen hecher ech lekul, and then he gives one weight, one tilt, for all of them, again, as we said, because since it's not possible to be exacting, if he's going to have to do it 10 times, the meicher is going to have a real large loss. And therefore, rather, he puts all the weights at the same time, and he weighs it one time, and so he's going to have to tilt a little bit to the buyer. It won't be as much as a loss. Continuing on these halachas of scales and weights, Tarmon learned the b'risa. Nefesh moiznaim. The nefesh of the moiznaim, we're talking about a scale, the nefesh is what's known as the fulcrum. It's this hollow piece of metal, which is what the bar hangs from. So it's this round thing that is the centerpiece that everything tilts on. So that nefesh maznaim, that piece, which is like the center almost of the scale, tluya ba'avr gimel tfachim. It has to be hanging from the ceiling at least a distance of 3 tfachim, meaning that there should be 3 tfachim from the horizontal bar, which is what is in the middle of the horizontal bar is this fulcrum, from the roof of the house. Now, as the Gemara will later on explain, we're talking about very large scales, which they use to weigh very heavy things like copper and metal, which that has to be hanging from the roof of the house, and that's how they would have these scales, and that it was permanently over there, so that's why it has to have a distance of 3 tefachim from the roof, so that when the scale will be weighed on either side, that it won't hit the roof when it's being weighed, because it's really heavy weights, it really turns a lot, so you have to give yourself a distance of 3 tefachim from the roof. Now, regarding the weights that are actually from the ground, so it has to be 3 tefachim higher than the ground. So there's 2 types, either those who hang from the ceiling or those that are from the ground. So either way, it has to be a distance of 3 tefachim, so when the one on the ground, that it shouldn't hit the ground when it's being tilted in regards to these heavy items. Now, continues the b'risa, v'kana, that's the kana, which is it's the beam, this horizontal beam, which the vertical stick, whether it's from the ceiling or from the ground, is attached to it in the middle, which that's exactly where the fulcrum is. And then you also have these 2 strings that are hanging from the edge of this horizontal bar. So this kana umisne shala, and these are the strings which the items and the weights are put in. These are the pans that are hanging from the edge of the scale. So again, so the horizontal bar with the strings have to be a length of shnei masat tvachim of 12 tvachim, because the kana itself, the horizontal bar, has to be 4 tvachim. And then each and every one of these strings that the pans hang from have to be 4 tvachim. So 4 times 3 is 12 tvachim, which again, these hang from the edges of the horizontal bar. Now the reason for this is because if it was less than this length, then actually the tilting of the scale, that it wouldn't be so precise when it would be a little bit amount, because since what's being weighed is very heavy, if it wouldn't be far enough apart, it wouldn't tilt that much, and therefore wouldn't be as precise as necessary. The next type of a scale, b'shal tzamarim, that of those who sell wool in weight, or b'shal zagagin, those who sell glass vessels, tluy ba'avr shnei tefachim. That has to be hanging from the ceiling only 2 tefachim, or if let's say it's from the ground, v'gvay menor shnei tefachim, it has to be from the ground a height of 2 tefachim. V'kano misne shalah, and its horizontal bar with its strings has to be only a total length of 10 tefachim, 9 tefachim. Now, the next scale, b'shal chenmeni b'shal balabayis, of a storekeeper or from a homeowner, tluy ba'avr tefach, has to be hanging from the ceiling only by a height of a tefach, or gvay menor tefach, or if it's from the ground, has to be only a tefach above from the ground, because again, that's all that you need for its tilting. It's not such heavy items, it's only going to be moving a tefach, that's all that you need. Ubakana misna shalosh leisha tvachim, and its horizontal bar with its strings has to be only a sum total of 6 tvachim. Now v'shel tortani, and that which is a scale used for silver and gold, which are very small, tortani is actually the name of the smith that's called that. Now again, each one of these different types of scales, according to how big they are, that's how far they have to be from the roof and from the ground. And that's again because if you weigh very heavy things, so then the tilt is that much more, so then it has to be that much further away. But as the brace is going along, the things that are being weighed are smaller, and therefore they need less of a distance and less of room to be able to tilt. So the tertani, which are gold and silver, which are very small, very minute, Tlui ba'avr shalosh etzbois, has to only hang from the distance of the ceiling by a distance of 3 finger breadth, where although it's not going to be tilting that much, only 3 finger breadth, again, that's enough, because although that there was a halacha that said that when you tilt, Rashbam points out that you have to tilt an extra tefach, that's only by meat or food item, but these only need a very little bit amount, and therefore it's enough with a height from 3 finger breadth from the ceiling, or for Gavayman or Shalosh Esbois, or if it's on the ground, all you need is a difference of 3 finger breadths, because we're talking about very minute type of tilts. And the Kanamisna Shallah in Yidan, the time that the Baisa says, in regard to the horizontal beam and the strings from that hold up the pans of the scales of gold and silver, he says, I don't know. I don't know how much that minimum has to be. Now the Gemara, however, asks, now the first case that the Baisa spoke about, that first scale, which, for example, it said that the height that it has to be from the ceiling or the floor has to be 3 tfachim, demai. What type of scale was that talking about? In other words, since the Brisa in its later cases spoke about those who sell wool or glass, and or the store owners and the homeowner, or those who sell gold and silver, so what was that first Brisa talking about? And I think Mark continues on Beis and says, Amar Papa says degrume. It's talking about the coppersmiths or the black, those who sell iron. Those type of smiths, they weigh very heavy things, like 100 liter at one shot. So those are very large scales. And therefore, that needs the larger measurements of the first case. Now, Amar Mani Bar Patish, he quotes regarding this halacha, Kederch she'amru le'in nisur, and just like we just said regarding prohibitory law, in other words, that forbidden to weigh, unless it's made exactly as we just described in the previous braisa, kach amru le'in tumas, and so too they said regarding halachas of tumah. In other words, that these scales would not contract tumah if they're not made exactly this way, because since they're not going to be considered a kli, because since you're not let away with it, so it's not considered an appropriate scale. It's not an appropriate kli of a maznayim, and therefore it's going to have the same measurements regarding contracting tumah. Now the Gemara asks, Mike Mashmalom, what is Ramani Bar Patash teaching us? Tanina, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Kalim in the 29th parak that taught regarding the halachas of tumah as follows. It says similarly the same halachas regarding tumah. Says chut meiznayim, which it literally means the string of the scale, which actually refers to the rope that the scale is hanging from the roof. If it's shalchemini v'shalbalabatim, if it's from a store owner or from a homeowner, tefach, it has to be hanging in the air a distance of a tefach. Now, since we taught this halacha regarding the balabais, who, as we said, that he's particular with what he has to weigh, which is only a tefach, the same thing would apply to all the previous halachas that we see regards to halachas of tumah are the same regarding the halachas of Isser. So what is Ramani Bar Patash teaching us? So says the Gemara, Kano misna shala Isser chale. What Ramani Bar Patash had to teach us was the measurements of the horizontal beam and the strings that hang, that hold up the pan, that what weighs what's being measured. That's Ramani's teaching us, that even for that there's a particularity regarding the halachas of tumah, just like it is for the halachas of weighing. And regards to the case where the Tanya the Baisa says, I don't know, says Rashbam, that would be a suffix tumah, and all the other cases would be like it was taught in the Braisa, because Deloitte's not. Those cases were not taught in the Mishnah Masechtas Kalim. The Mishnah Masechtas Kalim only spoke about the one aspect about how far it has to be from the ceiling or from the ground, but regarding the other halachas he didn't mention, that's what Mani Bar Patash teaches, that all the halachas would be the same for Isser as it is in the halacha of tumah. Tarban in the Braisa, continuing on these halachas, in Oisim Mishkalas, we're not allowed to make weights, Loishal Bats, not from tin, v'loishal avar, not of lead, v'loishal gisteroin, and not from an alloy, meaning when there's different types of metals that are mixed together, v'loishal shar mini matkas, not from any other types of metals, and the reason for that is because they get diminished as they get used, and therefore they're not going to be honest to exactly how much the weight is supposed to be, aval oisu shal tsunma, but you could make it out of rock, v'shal zchuchas, and of glass, because that stays as it is, and therefore it's going to be an honest weight. Tarabon, another halacha regarding to this topic, is Einois Namachak. You're not allowed to make the smoother, which is the thing that smoothed out the measurements, which we said that they, if they would sell it exactly, not heaping. You're not allowed to make a shel delas, out of the shell of a gourd, a type of vegetable. Neshukal, because it's very light, and it doesn't go that much into the measurement. And if it's not going to smooth it out that much, and it's going to be a loss for the seller, because it's still going to be heaping a little bit. Now, v'leisha matechas, and neither are you allowed to use it out of metal, neshukal, but that's going to weigh it down a lot. That's going to do even more. It's going to be a loss to the buyer. But you can make it out of olive, v'shal egos, out of walnut, v'shal shikma, out of sycamore, v'shal esperaya, and out of boxwood, because that is an equal type of a smoothing. Tarabon, within the b'raisa. A noisiness amachik, you can't make this thing that smooths out the measurements. Tzide echad av, v'tzide echad katzer. One side thick, and the other side narrow. Now the reason for that is because the narrow side, it was able to penetrate more into the produce, and it's going to be smoothing it out very much. Whereas the thick part doesn't get in so much, and therefore it's not going to smooth it out that much. Now, if you're going to make one side thick, one side narrow, when he's going to be buying, he's going to smooth it out with a thick one, which doesn't take away that much. When he's going to sell, he's going to smooth it out with his narrow one, and therefore it's going to be less for the one who's buying from him, which is dishonest. Rather, either both should be thick, or both sides should be narrow, whatever the custom of the place is. So to layimchik b'vas achas, he should not go ahead and smooth it out in one swift shot, because when you do that, it doesn't smooth it out that much, which again is a loss for the seller. Because some of the smooth out in one shot, it's bad for the seller, and it's good for the buyer, because it's not really smoothing it out that much. Now, so to the other way, neither should you smooth it out very slowly, a little bit at a time, because that's bad for the buyer and good for the seller. For example, if let's say he would smooth out just the width of a tefach, and that would be picking up the other part, and then would depress the other part too, a tefach by tefach, it's going to really push it down, and it's going to really take away from the buyer, because you could really just squeeze it all down. Rather, as Rashbam says, what should be done is one time either very very slowly, very softly, or in two times, for example, doing until half the measurements, which then lifts up what was smoothed out, and then doing the other half of the measurement, but not either one very swift one or very, very slow and tedious. Now, says the Gemara al-Kulon, regarding all these different types of unethical treatments of weights, Amr Yechim Zaka, he said, Oili im oimer, woe to me if I talk about them. Oili im lo yimer, woe to me if I don't talk about them. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, im oimer, if I talk about them, shemi lam de haramoin, maybe the people that are dishonest are going to learn to be more dishonest. They're going to say, I never thought about that. Wow, they said I can do one side thick, one side narrow. What a nightfall. Good thing that I learned Gemara. Now, but vim lo yimer, but if I don't talk about it, maybe the dishonest people, the deceptors, are going to say that the Talmudic scholars, they're not proficient, they don't know, and they're going to try to be dishonest. But if they know that we know, so then it's going to equal out the playing field. And therefore he says, it's I don't know what to do, because it's either way there's a challenge. Now, Yibayilu, the Gemara had the question, Amra, so did Rabbi Yechim at the end, did talk about these types of halachas? Or did he not? Because originally he was in doubt, should he say it or not? Did he end up resolving his question? So Amra Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, he said, Amra, Rabbi Yechim did talk about it. Umahai kra Amra, and from this pasuk that he based it on, that one should talk about these things. Because the pasuk in Hosea says, Ki yisharim darchei Hashem, because the ways of Hashem are upright, which means, say, the words of the Torah. V'tzadikim yelchubam, and the righteous walk in it. In other words, they're careful in it, and they don't use it as a way of deceiving others. U'poishim yikashlubam. However, those who are sinners, they stumble in it. They learn from it to be dishonest, but that's a choice that a person has to make. And one, however, is not teaching dishonesty, and therefore you teach these halachas. Tarabon, in the Braisa, the pasuk in the Yikra says, Leisasa ovo b'mishpat. You should not do anything dishonest in regards to justice, which is b'mida, in what you measure in what's in length, b'mishkal, in weight, or b'mesura, and which is in liquid weight. So the Braisa explains what this means. B'mida, in measurement, zumedidis karka. This is the measurement of land, meaning of distance, because as Rashbam says, it was measuring in the receptacle. That says later, that's mesura, as it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel, mayim b'mesura tishta. So this mida must mean the measuring of distance of length. What is this halacha? What's the pasuk coming to teach you? Shlo yimdeid, that a person should not measure out for two consumers who are buying land either in partnership or let's say one of two brothers that are splitting up the land, that it should not be measured le'echad b'maisach hama, that for one of them should be measured in the summer months, u'le'echad, and that for the other one, with that same rope, b'maisach cham, in the winter months.
Now the reason for that is because in the summer months, the rope is dry and it's shorter than it is in the winter, so it's not going to be fair. Or Ibn Hanan explains that actually because in the winter months, actually the ground is more contracted, and whereas in the summer months, then the land opens up more, and therefore it's going to be more for the one in the summer. So therefore, don't use the same rope for the same two people, one in the summer, one in the winter, because that's going to be dishonest. The next halacha of the pasuk was b'mishka with weight. Shle yatman mishka leis b'melech is coming to teach that a person should not sink in his weights into salt, because although it looks like a certain amount of weight, it's actually going to be heavier because it's salt, and therefore it's going to be dishonest regarding what the person's buying. He's going to end up getting less than what he's buying. The mesura with a liquid weight, what that's referring to, shle yartiach, that he should not bubble it. In other words, that when he's pouring wine, he shouldn't pour it so fast that it's going to make a bubble up for the buyer, and it's going to create this scum, and it's going to look like it's full, which again is dishonest because he's not getting really what the full amount that he should be getting. Now says the Gemara of Kal Vachomer. Now this is unbelievable on a teaching of a lesson, which is Uma Mesura, if a Mesura, that the Pasuk is warning us. Shehi, which that's very small, which is Echad Mishleishim Mishisha Belug. It's only 1/36 of a lug. Hikpido Lav Tariyat the Tariyat was particular with regarding the scum, which is just 1/100 of a lug. And the Tariyat is still warning you to be careful with that. So Kavo Chaymer, so all the more so with the foam of a larger septicle, for example, Lehin for a hin, or Vachatzi hin, or half a hin, or Shlish hin, or a third of a hin, or a Vias hin, or a quarter of a hin, or a leg, Vachatzi leg, or a half a leg, for a Vias, or a quarter of that of a leg, or the Bach puts in the word Vitaiman, which it means an eighth, which in this context it means an eighth of a leg, or v'chatzi taimen, or a half of a taimen, or v'ochlo, which the Gemara later is going to explain what an ochlo is, that these weights for sure you should be careful with regards to what you're doing, because even the masru, which is so small, and what is being lost is smaller than even small, which is this foam on the top, and obviously this teaches us a lesson about how careful a person should be with what's being measured out. Amar Yehuda Merav, he says, Asla adam shiyisha mid chaseira o yaseira b'teich beis. It's for a person to hold on to in his house a measurement that's either lacking or too large in his house. And the reason for that is because you might end up using it to measure with that. Now, however, as Rishbam points out, the Pasuk is not warning us when it says you're not allowed to have a measurement that's large or small for such a case. The Torah is only warning you in the case when you prepared the measurement to measure with it. Because if you don't say that, says Rishbam, then what was it necessary for Rabbi Yehuda Merav to teach us? That's already from the Pasuk. Must be the Pasuk's only warning you when you want to use it. Here it's saying, even if you're not using it for that purposes. Don't have it in your house because you might use it one day and says, oh, this says 1 ounce. And it's not because it's actually smaller or more. Don't even hold on to it in your house. And says Rav, Fafili Avet Shemeraglaim, even if it's a urinal, even if it's a potty, something that you have, but it says on it a certain amount, if it's not that amount, one should not have it because you have to be concerned that you might use it to, you might wash it out once, clean it out, and you might use it to measure with it, and therefore, that's going to create dishonesty. Therefore, the only thing you can do is to break it, and one should not have such a receptacle in his house. Now, Amar Papa, however, he qualifies this halacha, and he says, Lo yamon, we did not learn this, ela ba'asur dolei chasimi, only if it's in a place where there's no one appointed by the government to make a stamp to approve that this is a valid weight. And therefore, since there's no such appointee, so therefore it's forbidden because they might use it and deceive people. In the place where the only weights that are valid are those that have the stamp, if someone does not see the stamp, he's not going to use it, he's not going to weigh with it and buy with it, and therefore then you're allowed to hold on to such type of receptacles in your house because anyways you're not going to use it for weighing because no one's going to buy with that type of receptacle. Moreover, says Rav Papa, ba'asad dolei chasimi namei lo'aman, and even in a place where there are no such stamps, we still didn't say that it's forbidden to have such a receptacle, el dolei mahandisi, only if there's no appointees that go and come and check into the stores and see by the appointee of the government to see to make sure that the weights are honest. So even though there's no stamps, but moreover, there's actually no one that comes and goes. Of mahandisi, but if there are these random checks, then less lumba, then even then we're not concerned because there's still people will not be dishonest because the government comes and checks. However, on that says the Gemara Balohi, but actually what Rav Papa had qualified is not correct. Because zimna de mikri bein ashmashas, sometimes it could happen that by Friday afternoon, when everyone is busy and rushing and no one sees, or the consumer himself, he's so busy and he doesn't even pay attention to what is being used. Quick, give me a few of this, give me a few of that. It's almost Shabbos running. Umikri v'shakal, and it could happen that he'll buy, and therefore the seller might use it in a deceptive way. Therefore, in all situations, one should not have a receptacle that's not honest to the T of a measurement. If it's too much or too little, one has to break it and not hold on to it. Tanam Hoch is similar in the Braisa. The layasha of the midah haseir or yaseir b'teich. Basically, a person should not hold on to a measurement that's either too little or too much in this house. Even if it's something that's used to urinate in it, even that one should not have if it's not totally honest to the measurement that it's purported to be. Aval oisahu, but says the Braisa, but what you could make, what are the types of measurements that Chazal allowed to be used, are the measurement of a sa, or tarkiv, which actually is a contraction of the words trei v'kav, which means two kavs and a kav, which is three kav, v'chatzi tarkav and a half a tarkav, which is a kav and a half, v'kav and a kav, which will not come to be confused with the half a tarkav, as the Gemara later on explained, because the confusion is not by a third, or v'chatzi kav, or a half a kav, a reva, or a quarter of a kav, or v'taimen, which in this context means a half of a reva, which is an eighth of a kav, which is a half a leg, and v'chatzi toimen, and a half a toimen. So the way to understand this is that a kav are four lugin. A lug is four beitzim, which is the askalav gudu. It's mnemonic to remember how much each one is worth. So it comes out that a kav is 24 beitzim, and a half a kav are two lugin, and a reva, which is a loig, is six beitzim. And the reason for that is because whenever we use the terminology reva, it generally refers to a reva hakav, quarter of a kav. Whenever we're using the word in the Gemara revius, like you have to drink a revius, it's a revius haloig. So to taiman, which means an eighth, the tof and the shin are interchangeable, the shmini, it's an eighth of a kav, which is a half of a reva. And continues the brisa of ochla and a ochla, which we mentioned before that we're going to ask, b'kamehi ochla, how much is this ochla? So says the Gemara, echad mechamisha b'reviyah. It's one-fifth of a reviyah, meaning of a quarter of a kav. So it's one-fifth of a loig, which is a beya, and a fifth of a beya, because the loig is six beitzim. That's how Rabbi Nachman explains, that's primary. Now, actually, Rashbam points out that now, the chatzi toimen is only more than the ochla by a fifth, because the chatzi toimen is a beya and a half, which are 7/5 with another half of a fifth, which are 5/5 and 5 1/2/5. And the uchla itself is a beya and a fifth of a beya, which are 6/5, which are 4/5 and 4 1/2/5. So it comes out that the half a taiman is more than the uchla, a fifth and a half a fifth of a beya, which comes out that it's not going to have the necessary quarter of difference, rather a fifth, and that's going to be the Gemara's question later on, that the chatzi taiman the uchlet should not be done, because since people make an error by a quarter, so sure they're going to make an error by a fifth, because they can't discern those differences, then that's going to be the Gemara's question regarding that, because this is one-fifth of a quarter of a kav, which makes it one-fifth of a loig. Now, it continues the b'raisu, but made this halach, that was regarding dry measurements. What can you do for liquid measurements, are a hin, which are 12 lug, which is the same thing as a tarkiv in the dry goods, the chatzi hin and a half a hin, which is the same as the chatzi tarkiv, the shlishas hin and a third of a hin, which is a kav, and the Gemara later is going to explain why did they institute the shlishas hin, and the refis hin and a quarter of a hin, which are three lugin. Now, the reason why they didn't make also a half of a quarter of a hin, which is a lug and a half, is because then you might come to confuse it with the half a kav of dried goods, which are two lugin, because as the Gemara says later on, by what's called beriva toy inchi. If it's only a quarter of a difference, people make that error. Beloig and a loig, which is also the reva kav that we mentioned before, bechatzi loig and a half a loig, which is the taiman of the dried goods, the revius, which is the half a taiman, which we said before is a bay and a half, and vishminis, which that's a half of a beya and a quarter of a beya. But although by dry goods that we don't do this, which we just described we do by liquid, is because it's not the way to measure such small things like that. Rather, they just either evaluate, they give an approximation, or if it's something very precious, then they use it with a mishkal, with a weight. The echad mishmain mishminis, and one-eighth of an eighth, V'zeh kartiv, and that's what's known as a kartiv, which is mentioned many times, for example, in the halachas of mikvahs, which are, if the mikvah had 40 saw chaser kartiv, or fell into the mikvah, a kartiv of yayin, where that's what's a very small measurement known as a kartiv. So those are the measurements that are allowed to be used both for dry goods and for liquids.